You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Lucia Renee. Lucia Renee has been a professional actress, a computer science consultant, a teacher of self-discovery, and more recently, a writer. Her exploration of consciousness, which has spanned 40 years, drew her to the practices of Hinduism, Zen, Vajrayana Buddhism, and Advaita, and culminated in a 17-year apprenticeship to an enlightened master of American Buddhism, psychic development, and mysticism. During this time, she was ordained as a Buddhist monk and lectured on meditation and mysticism at universities throughout the United States. Between 2002 and 2007, using her mystical training, Lucia collaborated with other female mystics to identify the hidden energy structures underlying our economic, social, political systems, deconstructed her personal buy-ins to those structures, and offered herself in service to facilitate the dismantling of the structures themselves and their vice grip on the global collective consciousness. In July 2010, after many years of self-investigation and selfless service, Lucia experienced the death of her body, but agreed to come back in order to complete her soul's work in the third dimension. The result was the complete dissolution of her egoic structure and profound spiritual awakening. Her work, between now and the end of 2012, involves rebalancing the feminine and masculine energies on the planet, and in particular at the present time, helping women throw off their conditioning in order to stand in their power. We'll be talking about Lucia's new book, Unplugging the Patriarchy, so let's welcome her to the show now. Hi, Lucia, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm pretty good, thank you.
No, I've so much been looking forward to your interview, so I'm delighted to be here with you and your listeners.
Well, you know, I have to say that I know I've been saying this a lot about my guest book, but that's because I always pick guests whose books I know I'm going to love, and I love your book.
Oh, thank you.
It is a monumental work, really, of research and mysticism, and it's a spiritual page turner at the very least, and it works on so many different levels. The most obvious one being the octopus-like grip that seems to hold all of society on the verge of collapse. I'm not quite sure where I want to begin, but maybe what prompted you to start this process of discovering who the real power players were on the planet?
Oh, well, it took a lot of prompting. I really was directed to do it. I was asked to do it, and I was quite resistant. You know, when one asks for one's dharma, what am I here to do, how am I here to serve, then the answer comes to the higher self and not the personal self.
Mm-hmm.
So the personal self is always quite threatened by it. and the higher self thinks, oh, good, now the fun is finally going to begin, you know. So I was told to look and identify what was going on behind the scenes, to identify the hidden mystical structures that really the whole foundation of the patriarchy rests on. It's like anything else, you know, we have a physical body and we have a subtle physical body. And sometimes there are blockages in the subtle physical body that a healer can remove for us at an energetic level. And so it was much the same when we examined in a collaboration I did with women. The patriarchy rests on an energetic foundation, and it has a certain structure, and we were really asked to do some energetic work and disassemble that, simply because it was time. You know, we're at the end of an age, and it's time for the patriarchal structures to go away and some new structures to come into place.
Absolutely. I think many of us on the planet have been ready for those old structures to go away since for many decades now.
Isn't it true? Yeah.
Yeah. Now, they don't want to go away, obviously. And do you see a fight to the bitter end from those that are controlling things presently?
No. I see we've taken the battlefield, basically.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, it happened on the summer solstice. I knew it was going to be quite an interesting solstice, and I stayed up and meditated. And what happened was fascinating, because there's so many light workers, you know, thousands of light workers and people who have meditated and prayed and, as you said, been so ready for this to change for so long. And finally, I think the volume of light on the planet was sufficient that, you know, Mother Earth was able to be catapulted into an entirely new state of attention. And she did this, a sort of pushback to the global elite, and threw them into a state of disarray, and they've been in disarray ever since.
Wow.
You know, and when I speak energetically, of course, so this is not evidenced yet in the physical world.
Right,
but,
right.
If you look on the mystical planes, you know, in the alternate dimensions, the man who you're reading about in the book, the man who's my antagonist, the man in the South Pacific.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, who is the man who really wanted to run the whole thing, the whole New World Order, and be its primary ruler, you know, and get the rush that comes with the power of controlling everything. He actually left the body as a result. And so
really?
Now we've entered a time when, you know, there are other leaders of other components of the patriarchy that have been scrambling for power, and a little bit of a bidding war taking place. But we're totally on the case. We're still doing energetic work.
Oh,
and,
good.
You know, really trying to prevent any sort of, you know, we don't want to get into a nuclear war. We have to let them play out whatever's going to play out. Because really, the unraveling of the patriarchy is serving humanity. The personal self doesn't want to admit that, and the personal self is challenged by that. But basically, there is no light and dark. We all contain light and dark within ourselves, and they just have a rather unsavory role to play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the role of pushing our backs up against the wall so we'll make a leap in consciousness, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes. it does seem that we're allowing ourselves to be pushed very far against the wall, indeed. So
yeah.
if that's true, and it does seem that this has been going on for some time, there's a channel named Channels Bashar who calls that the rubber band effect, that once that reaches its limit, it snaps back in the other direction, and then when it goes in the direction of consciousness, it's all the higher. So,
yeah, and I think that happened really in August. I think it snapped in August, because my sense and the women that I work with and collaborate is we are really, and when I say on the offensive, you know, I just speak as a military person. Military, if you go back a long way, is about balance, and my dharma is to rebalance the energies on the planet between the masculine and the feminine. Of course, there are many people working on that, but that's my primary, the reason that I'm here. And so I tend to speak, you know, with a military-type tone. And so then we could talk about it in any way. We could talk about it as healing the planet. We could talk about in this dance of duality, you know, we've just made a turn on the dancing field, on the dancing floor. But I speak in military terms. So in those terms, you know, when the enemy starts to retreat, that's the time you move forward and you begin to do a cleanup exercise. So.
Oh, absolutely. I certainly admire, I mean, hold all of you, and of course all of us here in the audience and all who are here playing our roles on planet Earth in the highest esteem, because this is not an easy game board to be on right now. Mm-hmm. And I suspect it's going to events are going to become more interesting as we approach 2012.
Yeah, and I very much appreciate that. Thank you.
Now, speaking of that, it seems like we're entering all kinds of cosmic transits and Mayan calibrations, shifts from nights to days, and things like that. Do you track any of that, or are you following your own inner guidance and higher sources?
No, of course I take things in, you know, the Mayan things. And I was listening to Barbara Hand Clow, who I greatly admire, that you interviewed recently. And there's so many people doing so much amazing work. And so for me, and I think probably we're all the same, you just, you know, you read things that come your way, and then you see, yes, this resonates with me. Mm. And I think also we've entered a time of dreaming, really, where we can manifest, we can co-create, and we're only beginning to explore the possibilities and learn what that's all about. But, you know, if we say it, if we believe it, if there is belief within the collective that we can turn the battleship in the water, we can. You know, we can mm-hmm. basically do anything that we put our attention on now. Mm-hmm. And that's happening. So, as you were saying in her interview, you know, you have so many friends who are awakening and to whom so many extraordinary things are happening. And the planet, the vibration is speeding up, and yes, we're all going through an intense awakening right now.
Yes, no kidding, and I'm particularly feeling it tonight. But anyway, I know lots of people are having various symptoms through this time, and we just have to learn how to deal with our symptoms.
Yes, well, the symptoms are really, in my estimation, you know, I do a lot of processing work with women, because I've been asked specifically right now to work with women.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really just a matter of feeling your way into it. Anything that's coming up in awareness is really just a red flag going up. It's asking for our attention.
Yeah.
And if you put your attention on it, attention is very powerful. Attention is light, and when light moves, it's love. And nothing can withstand the force of love. It's the most powerful force in the universe. So really, if we just observe what's happening, I feel, and our own awareness feels, and then turn our full attention to it, it can be addressed very easily now because of the ascension process and the vibration of the planet.
Well, that's a wonderful and hopeful message, especially given that, you know, most people are still mired in the illusion and, you know, the fears about the Bilderbergers and the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission and these various Illuminati groups and secret societies and the dark black magic and the dark pope, and it just goes on and on. You can scare yourself to death like a Halloween show, but those things are they're dissolving, aren't they?
They are dissolving, and you know, the 5,000-year patriarchy, and by patriarchy we simply mean a male-dominated society, where classically men have held the reins of power within the family and within government and social systems and so on. I've forgotten your question. You were saying it again to me, Lance.
Okay,
that people scare themselves to death.
Right, right.
It's fear-based, isn't it?
Right, exactly.
So it's really just that construct, in my estimation, is gone.
Yeah.
Because you see, when you disassemble something on an energetic level, then we really went in and dealt with all of the structures that were creating the fear. But as human beings, we've lived for so long, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 years in a fear-based society, that it's really just a habit that we have. So it's up to each of us, especially those of us who are conscious, who can understand this conversation, to simply look at that within ourselves and to make an inner decision, very deep decision, to say, you know, it's time. It's time to throw off this reactive, fear-based type of conditioning and really go into something else, to choose something else, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the idea of perpetuating wars is simply, well, in your book you explain, and of course most people know by now, that all wars have been perpetuated by a shadow elite that plays both sides. They start the wars and they finish them at their convenience, and whoever dies is just collateral damage.
Yes.
And they make billions and trillions of dollars in the process, and they're, you know, just smug about it. It's just a business deal.
Yes.
So we have to, you know, stop it. And then the governments that we have are simply shell games for the elite to manipulate all of us sheeple. So, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're this a Republican or a Democrat or an independent, because there is no two-party system, and besides which, two parties represent duality and polarity, when we know in a higher level of consciousness there is triality and multidimensionality.
Yes. Oh, so, beautifully said, beautifully said.
Oh, thank you. I got carried away there with that little soapbox.
No, it's beautifully said.
Oh, thanks. Well, I'm curious about something. I noticed that you I didn't get to the part where you talk about it in your book, if you do, but you had a near-death experience, and I've interviewed quite a few people who have had near-death experiences because I was so fascinated with, you know, going to the other side and what it's like and the life review. Do you feel at all like talking about that?
Yes, that's fun. I'd love to talk about that.
Oh, good. Wonderful.
Yeah, for me, you know, it was really sort of boring because, you know, most people do get to review their life and go into the light, and I really just blacked out. I think I was so glad, you know, just to be out.
Yeah. No, well, golly.
Oh, my goodness. But,
dear.
It's been a rough incarnation, hasn't it?
Well, I've had one of those, too. I didn't have any of the bells or whistles either.
Oh.
I just went through the black hole and came out through the other side.
Exactly. Yeah, I think I was only gone for about a half a minute. And actually, well, you connected with me because I did the interview on Conscious Media Network with Regina Meredith. And there was a woman who had watched that as well when it first came out. And we connected immediately on, you know, she emailed me and we talked on the phone and we knew each other from a long, long time ago.
Oh, wow.
From this, you know, from before we all came in to do this great experiment on the planet Earth.
Oh, my goodness.
And her first response was, oh, my God, she made it. Because she's just come in, you know, for her first life.
Oh, my goodness.
Straight in from the 10th dimension. And she's never lost a memory of who she is. She's completely clairvoyant, even coming down the birth canal. So, you know, she's here to hold the vibration of the 10th dimension for the ascension. And she immediately, I was in Ashland, Oregon, and she was in Northern California, and she said, I want to come see you. And so she drove up, and she got here on Friday night. And on Saturday morning, we went out to breakfast, and there was an attack that was mounted on me because of all of this energetic work that I've done. As you say, you know, it's a very interesting thing to set your foot on this playing field because you're going up against the big boys. And the big boys have never been too happy about that. And for a while, they didn't know, you know, interestingly enough, you see, they didn't know that the problem would come from the arena of the feminine. You know, they took care of that problem back during the Inquisition, you know.
Oh, right. That's right.
So who would think that three women would mount an attack, so to speak, and take apart the energetic structure of the patriarchy?
It is a pretty bold plan.
Yeah, Exactly. So, but that, you know, that's a system they've used for a while, just hide in plain sight. So I got away with it for many years, and then finally the attack that I knew would come sooner or later came, and I was basically pounded out of existence. Oh. And as I sat there, you know, at the table, there was just one wave after another of this kind of violent energy coming at me from all sorts of dimensions, and it was misogynistic, and it was just the violence of the patriarchy and the hatred and the oppression, and it was like being hit with a giant sledgehammer again and again, and you know, about every 10 seconds, and every time I would get hit, my awareness field would completely fracture and I would have to pull it back together and try to be stalwart. And finally, you know, I called in my lineage, that's a lineage of warriors, and I said, you know, this is way beyond me, and the next pounding came, and it just fractured the lineage. This was huge.
Oh, my God.
So, but it was very fascinating, because the last thought I remember having is, you know what, I just don't think my physical body's going to take this. And my friend said, you just sort of you know, slumped over and put your head on the chair and looked for the sunlight, and your eyes were open, and you left the body. And so she came over, and she immediately knew that I had left, and she also immediately knew it was not time, because she knew I was under an occult attack. And she knew it wasn't time for me to leave. And she had also died, and a shaman in South America had pulled her back. So she said once that happened to her, of course, then she intrinsically knew how to do it for other people, as I suppose I do now for other people. But she came back, and she grabbed me, and because she has no form, she is oneness, she is the 10th dimension, she basically wrapped me in oneness so that I could no longer be seen, and she called me. She said, Lucia, get back in your body. And she said there was a hesitation because I was out, and you know, it's been brutal, and and so I think I thought to myself, is there any other way? Can I work this from the other side, or can I pass on the torch? And she said she called me again because she said, no, there's no one else who has this particular coding, right? Not that the coding is special, but just that it's a female warrior who has been programmed, if you will, to take on the patriarchy and to rally women to stand in their power. So she said, you have to come back. And at that point, I made a decision to come back. And I think I looked at the situation and said, all right, if I have to come back, what is the most optimal condition to come back as? Because I could no longer, I couldn't come back in duality. I was under attack in duality, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
And I had already been pounded out of existence, so that was no longer an option. Even to come back as enlightenment, which is the complete reconciliation of all polarities within the awareness field, you know, the beautiful yin-yang symbol, that wasn't an option. So I had to come back as oneness, and I came back as the full-blown expression of all 12 dimensions, because that is what I felt would most optimally serve my dharma in the world. And it was completely it was a complete unknown to me. I was suddenly completely formless, and I had to find a way in which to function, because I could have just sat, you know, for the next year and gone, my God, look at how beautiful everything is. I mean, I was in such an altered state.
Oh, my goodness.
And my good friend, Rama, who has been my teacher in this and other lives, and I talk about him in his, in my book, you know, I give a lot of his spiritual teachings. He came to us that weekend inwardly, and he said, you know, I could construct something for Lucia. He was talking to my friend, because she was 10th dimension. He said, if you just let me poke around in your awareness field and figure out this 10th dimensional thing, because it wasn't something that he had access to during his lifetime. He had gone up to the 5th dimension. And he said, I think I could construct a sort of processor, a sort of device that would give you some kind of structure and allow you to function optimally in the world. And he engineered something. He was a very brilliant engineer of consciousness.
Wow.
And it's composed of, it's so beautiful, Lance, when you look at it. It's like this this 12-dimensional, multi-dimensional egg. And it came in, you know, around the root chakra at the base of the spine, and it anchored, and then it began to come online, and it's all these circuits, and every single circuit connects to all 12 dimensions.
Wow.
And it came all the way up. It's like a beautiful latticework of light, all these energetic lines connecting the circuits all the way up above the crown chakra. And as I have sat with it, it took about 5 weeks for it to integrate, but it helps, and I can transfer it. I started transferring it to others. And it can be used for the ascension. It can be used for someone to clear their egoic structure and wake up. For me, it was more of a stabilizer, you know, because I came back formless. But I have programmed it. You know, I use the word processor because it's a computer term. It can be programmed. You can put an operating system, download an operating system to it. And so I programmed it for my Dharma. And about 5 weeks went past, and I said, I was on a retreat. I was really taking a vacation, and I hadn't checked in on this beautiful lattice work. And I was lying there in bed, and I said, you know, I should check on my processor to see what's happening. And lo and behold, I couldn't find it.
Hmm.
I said, what the hell has happened to the processor? And then I took another look, and I suddenly saw it. And it was like this battleship of light.
Whoa.
It was like a platinum, high-tech, high-speed, you know, like the latest high-tech battleship on the seas. Because
cool.
It had been programmed, you know?
Wow.
And the lattice work was really just a skeleton. It was just a framework. And now all the light circuits had been filled in.
And it
was a battleship to surf what I call the tsunami of the divine feminine energy that's here, and to move out through the world and help women stand in their power. Now, somebody else would program it in a completely different way, right? Healer, for a healer, it would look completely different.
Right.
Or for an artist, a musician, you know, they would program it to create symphonies. But for me, it became a battleship because that's what I needed.
Well, absolutely. You know, navigating those fields, I think you better have all the high-tech... all the high-tech hardware on there that you can get.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that is an amazing story, my goodness.
Yeah, it feels great. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of people, I recently was out camping in the woods, and there was somebody who came near the campground, but he stood 20 yards back. He wouldn't come near. And I realized after the experience, he was feeling that.
Oh, yeah.
He just wouldn't come into the aura of that battlefield.
Interesting.
So, yeah, that was my death experience.
Interesting. Well, now, I think people might need to have a little clarification that this is not so much, what we're talking about here is not so much a battle of the sexes. It's not a battle between... the female and the male energies. We are combined. We have female and male energies within us. That what you're talking about is an ingrained patriarchy which took over. Some say that it was we gave up our power to experience being dominated. But whatever the case, we have been dominated for over 5,000 years by a patriarchal model which clearly has not served humanity. It brought about wars, disease, hierarchies, ultra wealthy, and suffering. And to me, it seems that the patriarchal model is not aware of as much as the feminine model of the connection to the source, because it doesn't actually have the ability to give birth, even though we come back in, or we incarnate in various incarnations as male and female, but on the whole, it is a more of a destructive energy when it's left to in duality to run its own courses.
Yeah, it's such an important point that you raise. Thank you for doing that, because it has nothing to do. You're right. It is the patriarchy that is the problem, the forces, the constructs, the belief systems. And really, men and women, they embody in different bodies, of course, with different subtle physical bodies, and they simply play different roles. But this has nothing to do, in my estimation, as I write in my book. My book is the reconciliation of all opposites, and I reconcile the masculine and the feminine. I reconcile in the book the dark and the light. And as a mystic, I've written the book not as a book. It's really a mystical experience that is taken through as it's being read. But yeah, I just see that there are different roles that we need to play. And so at some point it became very confusing to me to use these terms masculine and feminine, because we think, when we hear those terms, we think of the way women have been programmed during the patriarchy and men have been programmed during the patriarchy.
Yeah.
And really all of the patriarchal programming or conditioning is inside out and upside down. It's 180 degrees reversed, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
So really we each have the masculine and the feminine within, as you say. But I actually dropped those terms in lieu of the terms lunar and solar. Because I find I find it much easier to talk about if men can reclaim the lunar, the receptive and the nurturing and the yin quality, and women can reclaim the solar, which is the active, the passionate, the creative, the yang quality of the universe. Yeah, then it kind of takes the charge off of the job that each has to do, you know?
Yes, because, very good.
Yeah, because for a man in the patriarchy to be called effeminate has been an insult for all this
time.
Oh,
yes, absolutely. Yeah? And if you're a gay man, of course, you get an onslaught of all kinds of names that are not pleasant to hear.
Exactly, exactly.
So I told somebody the other day that I've been morphing from being a heterosexual to homosexual to no sexual, because you can't be gay if you're not having sex. And now I'm working on androgyny.
Yes, beautiful.
Because really, there's a certain point where you reach such a nice blend of energies that you can just pull from this or pull from that. And there's no delineation anymore. There's just space and energy. And they are all wonderful energies. And I tend to enjoy the feminine, the more receptive energies, because they seem to be more open and intuitive and empathic.
Yes. Yes, and it's very natural for men. You know, Rama taught his students that men, when they first step on the spiritual path, they're usually bhakti yogis. Bhakti is the yoga of love and devotion, so devotion to the teacher or the teachings. It's very natural for them to give their heart to the teacher to the spiritual essence, to oneness. And then they move into jnana yoga, which is the yoga of discrimination, which is more really what you're describing, where you move beyond the masculine, the feminine. You move beyond even the highest vibration of love into the clear light. So the heart is really a very natural place for the masculine to reside.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's such an important work that gay men have been doing for us and for the collective in being fearless in exploring that within themselves. I see that as a really important pivotal point as we're going forward towards 2012, actually. And it's only something that I've just has just come to me consciously. But there is a progression, and the progression is that as women, reclaim their solar side, so as women begin to stand in power, and by power, I don't again mean power as we define it in the patriarchy, power over or power of force, but really standing against, standing neither for or against something, but in balance, in integrity, so just standing as the solar, because we are both, right?
Yes, absolutely.
and coming to the forefront, not being afraid, not throwing off all of that conditioning that says to a woman, you're not powerful, and not being afraid to be who we are in the world, however that expresses itself.
Oh, that is so important.
Yeah.
It is just vital that women recognize their worth. I mean, all of us have to go through this too, but I see so many women that just are riddled with fears and insecurities and, you know, past traumas from rapes and childhood abuse and so on. And, of course, that all needs to be let up and released so that the soul can manifest. But it's so vital for women to stand in their own power, because we're not going to make it as humanity unless that happens.
Yes.
And so there's a great price to be paid if women and men don't balance themselves and stand in their own light.
Yes, yes, so important what you say. And so it's, I think it's just a matter of us accepting the work that we have to do on ourselves, the women reclaiming the solar, or in some cases, you know, women have been told to reclaim their masculine, and they've gone out often and become very successful in business. So they also have work to do with reclaiming the lunar.
Right.
Yeah, but the progression is quite interesting, because as women stand in their power, there will be a collective crescendo of female power on the planet.
Oh, I hope so.
Will be a reaction to that by the masculine, won't there?
Oh, of course.
Yes, and it's absolutely necessary, because men won't be able to process their issues fully unless they do have that crescendo of feminine power to react against.
That's
and
right.
So it's all beautifully orchestrated, I think, for the next 2 years. And then there's a very interesting point in there where at some point the feminine, with her reclaimed solar side, will actually turn and help to heal the masculine wounding, which I believe is actually much greater than the female wounding.
Yeah. I do too. Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
You
so
know,
there's a lot
I have
of healing to be done.
Exactly. You know, I've begun removing energetic blockages. I've discovered since I came back from my death experience that I can do that. And as I work with women, I've encountered two women that had collars around their neck from the Inquisition. And they were collars, they're sort of metallic looking, of course. And they were put there by their jailers or torturers. And we remove it, and it's often quite painful to do it, to remove these structures, because we've carried them for many lifetimes. But in both cases, Lance, it's so fascinating, because as the energetic construct released, and she had been carrying this, you know, for many lifetimes since the Inquisition, always the jailer has come up, and it's the man who placed the collar on his neck. On her neck, and he's asking to be released from his karma, because she has carried the weight of one collar, he's carried the weight of hundreds.
And when we work
with that inwardly, there is always, it's very, very painful, always, I begin crying, the weight of, you know, being the jailer who did that to 100 women, you know, placed a metal collar. It's horrific, this masculine wounding from the patriarchy. The weight of carrying that, you know. And then being, of course, programmed in this life as a little boy who wears blue, who's supposed to shut down his emotional body, who can never cry. It's really horrific.
I would guess that you meet quite a few who were burned at the stake, since there were so many millions.
Yeah.
You know, that had fire traumatic experiences.
Yes. There is that, but of course, for the women who chose not to be burned, they had to sign a contract that said they were damned for eternity. That's a pretty big one, too.
that could cause a little the damage somewhere along the line.
Well, we've all been damaged by the patriarchy, haven't we?
No kidding. And all of the structures that are in place I mean, it seems almost like a big circus. You know, you've got the seat of power of the, you know, this Catholic Church and all of the various things that they're doing, and you have the government and the military, and you've got the queens and the kings, and everyone's vying for power. And if, as you say, the energetics have shifted because they are no longer solidified as they had created them, then they're probably going to start manifesting in ways that are somewhat unpredictable.
Yes, there is that potential. But you know, I haven't watched television for probably 30, 35 years, but when I travel, I am staying in a hotel. Sometimes I watch. And I was having breakfast in a hotel in Berlin, and they had the news on, like sort of the CNN and for the EU. And they were showing pictures of Hillary Clinton meeting a diplomat and things going on at the UN. And I was sitting there and going, my God, that doesn't even look real. The people, there's so little life. There's so little vibration of love in their awareness field that it's really, the television ended up being a portal into a dying world. That's what it looked like.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so I think it is just the memory that all of these constructs are there and that are oppressing us. It's really, if you take another look and look very closely at the energy, the worlds are splitting. And the world of the heart that we are ascending into, which is unconditional love and reverence for the earth and all people, and you know, this sense of oneness and unity that we're experiencing, that's already there. We can already take up residence there. And that old world is dying off. And so if you're still plugged into it, and this is really why I wrote the book, it helps someone not unplug from, you know, not get off the grid, but unplug your energies from it to understand that there's nothing wrong with the patriarchal structures. They're there to put our backs up against the wall and to help us change. Yeah. They're there because we've had a learning about power and abuse of power for the past 5,000 years. But if you're still plugged into it, then you're affected by the dying world, right?
Yep.
So if you still have control issues that are coming up in your face, if you still have, you know, you like hierarchy, if you're still trying to cling to the old ways, then those old ways are starting to vibrate so radically that you're just being forced to let go of them. Once you let go, you're okay. Then you're in the new world, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I call that the organic world.
Mm.
You know, the world of nature and of spirit. And it's just so beautiful and awesome that you can look down into the grass and find a little bacteria that's cute.
Exactly.
And just send it some love, you know, and a butterfly above you and a tree. And I love your descriptions of your conversations with trees in the book. It was so beautiful just to read that. And it's just it's such a beautiful book. It works on so many different levels, and I highly encourage everybody to get unplugging from the patriarchy. I hope I got that right.
Unplugging the patriarchy.
The patriarchy. We'll just have to say it again and again. Unplugging the patriarchy. Unplugging the patriarchy.
You know, can I? We have a special for your listeners. Can I just mention that at this juncture?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, because if you go to my website, which is unplugfromthepatriarchy.com, or Unplugging the Patriarchy will get you there as well. But look for my archives, and then you'll see a our show, Zany Mystic, and then there's a little bonus button there. It's a red button, and it says Bonus U.S. and Bonus International. And we basically give the book away at cost to the listeners for your show. So it's only $8 in the U.S., and we take the care of the shipping and everything. So that little button will be there. And it doesn't say book. It's just a little secret button.
Wow.
And, yeah, so go to the archives on Unplug from the Patriarchy. You press that button, and you'll be taken into PayPal, and you can just get the book for $8 or $14 if you're outside. Yeah.
That is so wonderful of you. People do it. I mean, it's worth $50 at a minimal. So, you know, to me, it's a page turner, and it just will open up your eyes, and it teaches on so many levels. So do it, please. This is a wonderful opportunity. Thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah, well, you see, the more of us who can unplug, that's my aim.
Yes.
The more of us who unplug our energies from this patriarchal system that's unraveling, then the collective changes. Every person who unplugs and changes themselves changes the collective consciousness.
Yes.
You know, we are so powerful. We don't give ourselves credit for that.
Oh, absolutely.
So, anyone who's willing to do that work, and the book does a lot of the work for you because it's just infused with an old Atlantean magic. And you just read it, and I get emails from people all over the world who say, I don't know what happened, but I view the patriarchy in a completely different way. I've started to unplug. I don't get triggered anymore. So
there's high magic in your book, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, you see that, so I'm so happy.
Oh, yes. I'll have to read it at least twice. There's no question about that, because some of it was above my head. It was just I just knew there was more there to grasp, and I wanted to, you know, go back and see what more I could glean from it. So I know it's a many-layered book. So
Yes, but one doesn't have to really be a mystic to read it because, you know, mysticism is experiential. So all you have to do is read the detective story, which is really a fun read.
Yeah.
And it's fun because it's exploring and investigating the world around us and exposing the way that whole thing works. Yeah,
it
affects all of us.
It is.
But the magic the magic happens, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, in this period that we're in, I thought we'd never reach 2010.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's taken a decade to get to this point. Now we're reaching a point where things might start to happen a little more intensely energetically. Since you have a little more of vision and sight than many of us do, what do you see on the possible horizon or the potential futures for us, say, from now to around 2012?
Oh, I don't think there's really, you know, we could just coast in if we wanted. I think all that's going to happen, and this will begin, in my estimation, near the end of 2011, is that the energies will start to lock down. You see, all the energies are in flux right now because there are two things happening at the same time. We have an old cycle that is ending and a new cycle that really technically has already begun. And so everything is open. Everything is fluid. We can do anything we want in the next year, especially. Then the energies start to lock in place, and by sometime near the end of 2012, we don't know exactly when, but they will completely lock into place. And all that means is that that will then be the foundation on which we start to build the new world in the physical, right, or in the fourth dimension, wherever it is that we end up.
Right.
So we begin to recycle those pieces of the patriarchy that have some value to us, and perhaps that's industry and, you know, some sort of medium of exchange and using media to broadcast, you know, uplifting spiritual messages to help people to evolve, whatever it ends up being.
Oh.
But the energies are in flux right now.
Okay.
And so we can basically dream any sort of new world we want. We wouldn't have to do anything. I say we could coast into 2012 because really it's not our job to end one cycle and begin another. That's the job of Mother Earth and the divine. Really, that's the job of spirit. But we have the advantage as human beings, embodiments of the divine within human form, living on a planet that is in massive transition, to go through a massive transition ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
We
have to do, we walk on the earth, and her vibration is ascending, and we are ascending with her. That either is going to play out in one of two ways.
Okay.
Either we are a person who is unconscious of the ascension and the process that is happening on the planet, in which case we are in a situation where we have to learn our lessons and play everything out in the physical. Right? So maybe that means living through a natural disaster. Maybe that means losing our job. Maybe that means going bankrupt. Whatever it is that causes us to learn the lessons that our soul has chosen to be here at this time of this enormous transition and learn, that's what we'll have to experience in the physical world. Huh. But those of us who are conscious have a choice. We can either learn it in the physical world or we can change it in terms of consciousness, right? And so this is the more refined, this is the more esoteric practice of saying, all right, I'm going to unplug my energies from that old world. I'm going to reside in the energies of the heart. How do I do that, right? What kind of processing technique do I need in order to look at what is coming up for attention in my awareness field and bring that to rest, to reconcile those polarities. Mm-hmm. So really it's very individual. There's so much help available. So many people have developed processing methods and ascension tools. My God, it's endless. And healers, right? And people who can do all sorts of amazing things, books that are out there. And so all we need to do is watch. Where am I drawn? What resonates with me? Because really we need to throw out this idea that there's some kind of hierarchy. Oh, if I become enlightened, I'm going to be better. Oh, moving into oneness is supreme. It's not. It's just, who are you? That's the question. Yeah. Who are you? How do you vibrate? What place on the energetic playing field do you need to find on this game board of the new world? Because once you stand on that place in integrity, then you can do your dharma. Then you can be of service. Then you can be who you are really meant to be, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's just finding that vibration that suits you.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And of course that is that can start this moment if for some people who might not have been engaged in that practice of tuning up one's integrity, you know, beginning to tell the truth, aligning with the highest within. There's a million different techniques, but not being out of integrity is one of the more important ones for me. Mm. And then also finding your fun. Where is your fun?
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
What makes you happy? What are our desires? What have we crunched down into the deepest, darkest recesses because we weren't good enough or we couldn't have a tuba because daddy couldn't afford a tuba? You know, well, maybe it's time to open that closet and see what the other instruments that are in there that might be fun to play. Tubas and watercolors and writing pens and who knows, costumes and everything. We can do anything we wish. Somebody brought up something, and I want to ask you about this. One of the major spiritual teachers that talks a lot about the 2012 coming said something about the idea that we're moving into a time when we will be creating, literally creating from our thoughts, that as we approach the intensity of 2012, that as we the spirals closer, we will literally be creating our thoughts, and that this is going to throw some people back into the third dimension because they're going to create things that are frightening. Is that that doesn't resonate for me. But how do you see the process of creation evolving for us? It seems that there would be some kind of safeguard for us to, you know, we can't just create, you know, obviously a lot of people would have some lascivious thoughts and they would want to manifest all of those and it could be a crazy world.
Mm. Well, yeah, it's not, I would take it, I think, beyond thought, and I'm not sure how they're defining that. But, you know, this all is happening, the conscious thinking mind is such a small piece of the overall being. It's really just a small logical tool that's been told it should be running the whole show. So I think we really have an overemphasis on thought, per se.
Okay.
But it's really an inner choice. I think it's already happening. You know, whenever we perform an action, whenever we think a negative thought, whenever we get angry at someone and throw negative energy at them, these things are they're very apparent right now. They come back to us. The karma for doing that is instantaneous, which is a total blessing.
Yes.
Because this allows us to see where we are out of alignment.
Absolutely.
And so it's really just a matter of making choices. We all have a choice. And yes, there are some people who still want to learn about third dimension and light and dark. And so they may choose to play in that realm. They may choose to incarnate in another world and continue to have lessons around that. But we each have a choice. And anyone, I feel, who wants to ascend, we just need to look for that, as you say, that integrity and that joy within ourselves. That's our ticket home.
Wonderful, and that's a great way to segue out of the show and to thank you for just a wonderful and delightful hour. And before we go, would you just refresh everybody's memory about the special for the book, and then we'll sign off the air.
Yeah, my website is unplugfromthepatriarchy.com. And the special red bonus button is on the archive page if you look for this interview. And, it's been such a pleasure. I knew this was going to be a special interview, and I'm so, so delighted to have talked with you, Lance.
Oh, me too, Lucy. I feel like I've known you for a million years.
Absolutely.
Welcome back anytime, and thank you so much for being here. And I will be following your work, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
All right. Good night, everybody.